Can you just imagine how many hours that a shepherd spends with his or her sheep? The relationship that grows between them is remarkable. Now think for a moment of your own pets. I know y'all have pets or you've had pets, but how do the pets respond to your voice? I know when we walk in, Spunky gets all happy, and our other Shelties over the years have done the same thing. They know you. They recognize what you say, and certain words, especially treats, means so much to them. Each one of them knows their shepherd's voice. Sheep are the same way. Somebody else might come to the sheepfold and they're not going to go near them at all, even if he calls out their correct names. And it is important to know that sheep have names. I mean, think your own pets. Can you just imagine being a shepherd and having 50 or 100 sheep and having to deal with them each and every day, knowing their characteristics, but also giving them names that probably have to do with their characteristics? I mean, it's a relationship, and treating each one of these sheep accordingly. That relationship is important. The sheep are always listening for the one voice in their life that matters, the voice they trust. When they hear it, they're not going to need a sheepdog to keep them in line. He will not walk behind them. The shepherd walks ahead of them, calling to them, and they simply follow him. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus describes not only the role of the shepherd, but how Jesus is our shepherd, calling himself the Good Shepherd. Now it's time for your Greek lesson. I know that Grant perked up there for a second. You say Greek to a college professor and he's right there. The words Good Shepherd used in the Greek, because as you know, and I got to be honest with you, before I went to seminary, I did not know that the New Testament was written in Greek, because that was a written language in the Middle East at that time, back in the first century. Well, it all came about because you'd think it would be Roman or something, or Latin. But because of Alexander the Great, that was left behind. So the written language was Greek. So the entire New Testament is written in Greek. Because my first thing was like, why do I have to take ancient Greek? I found out real quick. But here's your Greek lesson for today. The term or words good shepherd are, ready? Hapoimen hakalos. Hapoimen hakalos. It describes a person who is good, useful, free from defects, morally good, if you will, noble, praiseworthy, but to sweeten the pot a little bit, kalos actually means beautiful. Explaining the fact that the sheer attractiveness of what he's doing and the strong, compelling power of his love for those under his care. Now, isn't that kalos? Isn't that beautiful? Jesus proclaimed himself the Good Shepherd, and his love is overflowing, enduring, and never ending. A shepherd would take his sheep out into the wild from the safety of the sheep pen. Life was always in danger there. And Jesus does the same thing. Wherever we go, wherever it is that we have gone, maybe even to not so nice places in our lives, our shepherd is always with us. Now, if you stop and think about it, sometimes we think we pull a fast one on God, and some of the things that we've done in our life, he doesn't know about. Guess what? He was there. So that's all I'll say about that. The Good Shepherd did indeed lay down his life for his sheep, sacrificing himself once before all others, so that those who believe in him as the only Son of God would be safe from the thief, the stranger, the hired hand who cares nothing about the sheep and will hit the road, Jack, when the wolf attacks. But the Good Shepherd never runs away. Instead, he defends them and looks for those who reject him, loves those who hate him, and serves those who acknowledge him. Why would Jesus chase after someone who doesn't want to be chased? Think about that for a second. Jesus' love is so selfless that he doesn't care if he gets hurt during the process. I mean, think about the cross. Think about what he did, what he gave up. He didn't care. He did it anyway. Hear what God foretold through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they've scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will be feeding in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the flock, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. That's Ezekiel 34, 11 to 17. Now, in the Old Testament, God was often seen in the image of the shepherd of his people. I mean, just think about today's psalm, that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, written by the shepherd David. It begins with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, I just got to stop here for a second. If you ever see pictures of Israel and the Negev, which is where David had his sheep, it's not so green. That was a wake-up call for us when all of a sudden we were in the Negev and we see these clumps of green here and there. And our guide said to us, "That's the green pasture." Because they're searching for anything to eat. And I will lie down near something to eat. It's amazing. God is so good, he provides even a clump for his sheep. The prophet Isaiah describes the Lord God as he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. That's Isaiah 40, 11. And the psalmist writes again in Psalm 80, verses 1 and 2. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. When Jesus proclaimed himself as the good shepherd, I believe he was saying to us, his people, the people of God, when he said, "I am the good shepherd," that he made the connection for us, not only to the many scriptures about God as a shepherd, that the prophecies about shepherds all had come true in one shepherd, and that is Jesus himself as God. In today's Holy Gospel reading, Jesus proclaimed, "I am," and I'll stop right there. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? I am the good shepherd. That takes me right back to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses said, "Who shall I say is telling me to tell this to the people, all the Hebrews?" And he said, "I am who I am." Seven times, by the way, in the Gospel of John, Jesus used "I am" as a statement to tell people, "Oh, here I am. Here I am." He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John chapter 10, verse 11. Now, John chapter 10 is very important, and John chapter 11 is even more important because that's Lazarus, where Jesus' friend died. And this is right before it, right before Jesus crosses over the Jordan to come to Bethany, which in Bethpage, where Lazarus has been buried. He goes and he does what? He calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus is his sheep, and he called him. Lazarus heard his voice and reacted in such a way. Jesus then heads to Jerusalem, triumphantly coming through the city, hailed as a king, people with palm branches and laying their coats in the road. In the last week, starting the last week of Jesus' life, he was proclaiming to those, anybody who would listen, and to those who would later follow, like us, that he is the good shepherd. He is the one who cares for his flock. He went on to say that he and the Father are one. As he proclaimed, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about the Gentiles who would eventually come along like us and follow his voice. Why else would you get up on a Sunday morning to come to a building and sing all sorts of hymns and listen to a guy in the pulpit go on and on? I only go about 10 minutes. But there are some that go on 30 and 40 minutes or longer. Why do you do that? Because you hear the voice of the shepherd, and you know that he's calling you to follow him, no matter where it is, no matter what flavor or denomination it is that you believe in and you follow. Jesus is there. What matters is who it's about. I've often said, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And if you know Jesus, my friends, you're saved. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for the day when there will be one flock and one shepherd. God doesn't want to lose anyone. We all have heard about the one and the 99, how he will leave the 99 to go and get the one. Well, that's what a shepherd does. The invitation is there. We all have heard, and we'll hear again during our comfortable words, John 3:16, that he told Nicodemus at night. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The word world is not just one denomination or Coffee County or New York or Israel. It's the whole world. And you know what? That includes your name and mine. We're called to love others like the Good Shepherd, like Jesus Christ loves us, not caring about the consequences or the aftermath. We too are called to walk on treacherous ground in his love, knowing that he will never let us fall. He always works for the good of those who love him. He knows our names, and we can recognize his voice calling us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.